This is Belinda and Arthur, everyone. How long have you guys been coming to Inglewood Church? Oh, come on, take a breath. How long have you been coming to Inglewood Church?
Do you know?
Yeah, no, it's over 4 months. So that's a good start.
Over 4 months, that's a great start.
I think we started coming September, October last year, something like that. So we just started coming and we didn't stop coming. So, yeah, we've been coming ever since. So we're part of the church now.
And we're glad you're here, aren't we? So you can relax. You're amongst friends.
Yeah.
But we are going to go, you know, to some deep places this morning. And that's okay, because you're amongst friends. So, Belinda, just tell us a little bit about where you were born. Where did you grow up?
So I'm obviously from New Zealand. You can tell by my accent. And so I'm from a tiny little town in New Zealand that's so small that they actually put a bypass through it so you don't actually have to go to the town anymore. So it's, yeah, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. It's called Bell Block. Anyone heard of Bell Block? New Plymouth? No? See, that's how small it is. So, yeah, I grew up on a farm that was a small kind of farm, and so I was a farm girl, I guess you'd say, yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about, Belinda, just tell us a little bit about family life growing up. What were some of the, you know, particularly early on, some of the challenges that you faced?
Well, I grew up with my grandparents, and what actually happened was my parents, they didn't get married. They were in a relationship and got pregnant with me. And they actually separated before I was even born. So it wasn't a very good start to family life. My mum tried to raise me for about 8 months of her life, and then she couldn't do it as a sole parent. And my grandmother wanted to take me, so she just thought this is the easy way just to give my child a family. So she gave me to my grandparents and they raised me until my grandmother died when I was about seven, around my seventh birthday. She passed away, and family life was actually pretty good until she passed away, and then things just really dramatically changed and it became a very hostile environment to be raised in. So it was really, really difficult after that.
So just tell us as much as you're comfortable sharing, but your grandfather, what was it like at home with him?
Well, he was, in hindsight, I can look back and see that he was struggling. He was a Christian on Sundays. We went to church sometimes, not all the time. We were just like, we might go here and there. He was a very hard man from a hard generation, and he was grieving his wife, and so he was very, very lost. And so I was basically the one that he took everything out on. So he abused me. He physically abused me. He used to hit me a lot and beat me. So there was times in my life, actually, where he had hit me so badly that he must have actually thought that I was going to die, because it was the closest thing I ever got to a sorry, was that he came and sat next to the bed and he actually prayed for me to live. So it must have been like, I just remember being in a lot of pain, you know, and I was very young, but that was probably the closest thing I ever got to an apology, was that he prayed for me to live. So, yeah.
Arthur, tell us a little bit about yourself. And where were you born, and what was your family like growing up?
Well, I was born in New Zealand, and it wasn't until... Well, my parents are from Tonga originally. So what happened was they tried to get into Australia straight from Tonga, which was really hard for visa purposes. So they ended up moving to New Zealand. Then once my brothers and myself were born, we ended up becoming New Zealand citizens, and then we moved to Australia. That was about around when I was five. But we went to church when I was younger, and we, but like Belinda said, it was just on the Sunday, and then every other day was just alcohol. Both my mum and my dad, and they were just alcoholics drinking away. And that, and then just growing up in Sydney, just, you know, we've pretty much no parents at all. Just from And to an age of sort of like just catching up with the wrong people, to a point of being sexually assaulted at one time, and it was like a very long way away, and it was like an hour and a half away from home. But that night I sort of like, I just, I guess in a way that I knew that God's always, there is a God, but waiting till the night when everyone was asleep and then just running, sprinting back to home. And just sort of like, when I look back now, you know, and I just sort of like, thank God that, you know, he was there for me. You know, he's given us free will, and people out there are evil. And that we have choices to make. And then growing up and just going through life just hopeless and living from house to even being on the street at one time. And then I met Belinda.
So, Belinda, tell us a bit about yourself. You're, I think, about 19 or something around that age. And, yeah, just tell us a little bit about what was happening there.
Yeah, well, I probably should have said this at the start, but I really think that our life before Jesus is very, very dramatic. You know, we went through a lot of stuff, and some of it's actually quite shocking even to me when I look back and I think about the things that I've been through, and it just seems like a lifetime away, you know. So I met Arthur in Sydney. I moved from New Zealand to Sydney because my biological mother lived there, and I knew my biological parents even while I was growing up. They were still part of my life, and you know, to a degree they knew what I was suffering through as a child. My father did, but he never really did anything about it. He knew what his father was like, and he just left me there. And you know, that was something I had to sort out with him and myself later on. But I went to visit my mother for a holiday in Sydney, and I just didn't want to go back anymore. So I just wanted to stay. So I did. I just didn't go back to that life. And I thought that, you know, I'd escaped the terror of what I had suffered through as a child. But I was a very twisted and broken person through all the things that I'd gone through. And I just really didn't believe in God because of the Christianity that had been shown to me as a child, you know, going to church, but then yet still doing what you do, like hurting people, abusing people, the things that I had to go through. I just thought, you know, if this is really what God's like, then I don't really want to know God. I have got no place for a God like that, a God that allows this to happen. And so I walked away from God and I went to live my own life and went looking. I actually, in hindsight, know that I went looking for God in a different way, because I know that there was that hole in my heart that only God can fill. And I looked everywhere for it. I went, you know, to the worst places to try and fill that void that only God can really fill. And so I did a lot of stupid stuff and learnt lessons the hard way, which I don't recommend as well. So, yeah, I met Arthur and we kind of came together, and we both had a lot of baggage. So we kind of, in a really weird way, related to each other because of all of the suffering and the brokenness in our lives. It kind of bonded us together. And then we started our own family and continued this cycle of neglect and abuse in different ways. You know, so we couldn't actually break that cycle. We tried to. We tried in our own strength. We went to counselling. We did, like, family counselling, couples counselling, individual counselling, and didn't work at all.
So Arthur, there came a time in your relationship together that you pretty much checked out. Just tell us a bit about what happened there. Yeah. What was that like?
Well, during our relationship, all we did was just argue and just about nothing really. It was just, I guess it was our old baggage that was egging us on against each other. So up until growing up, I never actually, after my parents broke up and I separated from them, I didn't actually drink any alcohol at all. But it ended up when I started working out in the mines, and we thought that money was the answer for everything. And that's, little did I know that it obviously wasn't. So I started drinking. Started drinking to the point of becoming a bad alcoholic, just drinking all the time, even when I was at work. And there was one time in my life where we had separated. I was living with my brother, pretty much not far away from where we had our family home. I just thought that there was no reason to live, so I committed suicide. I cut my wrist. And the funny thing is, while I was doing that, I wasn't feeling any pain. It was just like, just continuing just to cut in there. And like, but even though I knew it was wrong, I just kept doing it. And then my brother came inside and he found me there, called the ambulance. As soon as I got back, as soon as I woke up, I realized in my mind what I've done and that was wrong. And then, you know, I started feeling this feeling. It's like, oh, I'm never going to do this again. You know, I'm not going to be depressed. Next thing you know, 2 days later, I'm depressed. And I'm back in that same spot. But it was sort of like a false happiness after I did that. Like, you know, I've made a mistake. So, and even though through all that time that we were just continuing to go through the same routine over again, just like we're just lost in darkness. But I do thank God that my brother did find me and I'm still here, you know.
So the marriage went through a tough time, Belinda, and Arthur, I think he might have moved back in, but he was living.
Yeah, so over a series of years, so we've been together over 20 years now. Over a series of years, we separated many times. One of Arthur's things too was to run away from problems. And so, you know, we'd have a disagreement or an argument and he would just pack his bags and leave. And and so he would just leave me a lot. And then I would be stuck with the children and all the responsibility of everything. And carry on, and then somehow we would just get back together again. And so, you know, over a series of years and years and years and all the hurt and the pain, we found ourselves, we had moved to the eastern states and then we moved back to Perth, and we found ourselves living in our home that we had purchased while he was in the mines. And got to the point where, you know, it just wasn't working, and we couldn't do it anymore. He was an alcoholic. And so he moved to the end of the house. He was living in our spare bedroom. And it was just an absolute nightmare, really, honestly. That's all I can say. It was a terrible, terrible place. And I look back now and I think, how was this even our lives before? Like, how did... Oh, it's just amazing. God's amazing what he's done. And, so in our home, it was a very dark place. You could feel the tension in the air. You could, you know, I don't even know how our children even lived in that. And it's really sad. It makes me sad when I think about what our children endured at this time as well, because we couldn't fix ourselves, let alone try to be any kind of parents to our children. It was such a battle, and our minds were so clouded in confusion as well. It, you know, it just, yeah, it was a disaster.
And then something strange sort of happened, didn't it?
Yeah, well, what happened was I was at the end of my rope, basically. I was at the worst place I could ever be over so many years, and I just got to the point where it was time for us to separate. We, you know, I'd been to the lawyers, the divorce was on, it was all happening, and I just felt like an absolute failure in life. Like, life can't get any worse if you're... This is how I felt. If your marriage fails, if you fail at being a parent, and that was all that I had ever wanted to achieve, and I couldn't, and I just felt like such a loser, and I just didn't even want to live anymore. I just lost it. I was just like, I don't even know how to survive. So I just sat there in my depression. And I decided to call my father, who is a Christian. He lives in New Zealand. And I gave him a call. And I, you know, remember that conversation. It was about 30-second conversation. And I said to him, "Dad, my marriage is over. My life is over. We're getting a divorce. How did you survive a divorce?" Because he'd been through one years before. And he said to me, "Have you prayed?" And I just thought, this is really stupid. Why did I call him? And then he said to me, "Have you been to church?" And I was like, "No and no." And then I was like, "Okay, gotta go." And then I slammed the phone down. And that was the end of the conversation that I had with my father. And I just remember sitting there thinking, oh, this is like the absolute worst advice that anyone could give you. And then I just sat there and felt so sorry for myself that I just bawled and bawled and bawled and cried and just lost it for I don't even know how long. It just felt like forever. And then I just thought to myself, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. I've got nowhere to go. If God's real, I need God. I need him because this is pathetic. And so I remember crying out to God in my helplessness and my loneliness and my desperation and just saying, "God, if you're there, if you're real, I need you. I need to know that, you know." And I had an experience with God that showed me that he is real. And I could not deny what happened. The way that he presented himself to me was just so real that I couldn't deny it.
So after Belinda goes back, starts going to church, and what do you do on a Sunday?
Well, on a Sunday, I'd just like sleep in because on a Saturday I'd be drinking, and then on Sunday I'd be like nursing my hangover. And then that went on, like Belinda and started taking the kids to church, and I thought maybe there is hope, but that went on for like about 2 months. She would come in the bedroom every Sunday and ask me if I wanted to go to church. And I would sort of like just swear and say, you know, not nice things. And then she'd done that for like three months. And then there was one instance where she she came in there and she was just talking to me about God and telling me how much I need him. And then she threw the Bible at my head.
Yes.
Yeah. I think they woke me up a little bit.
Yeah. Tell that story? Because, yes, I did do that. I got to the point, well, like right after I discovered that God was real, I just knew that I had to do something, and I knew that it was up to me to do something. I had to change my life, and that meant that I had to go to church, I had to find God, I had to buy a Bible, all of these things that I knew that would get me on this journey, get me closer to God. And so that's what I did. I started going to church every week and started taking the children every week. And I just felt like, you know, when I'd go there, I could just forget that my life was an absolute disaster. And I'd just feel so unburdened when I got there, you know, and then I'd have to go home to this nightmare. And, you know, I just was like, oh, I just need life to change at home. It needs to be different. And so after trying to talk to Arthur for months on end and saying, look, come to church, you know, you need God, all of this stuff. And no. He just kept in his, like, spiral, downward spiral. And then one day I just remember getting home and I told the kids to go inside and, you know, watch TV, what their usual whatever they did after church. And I sat in the car for about 5 minutes and I just thought, you know, I don't even want to go into my own house. It's just, like, absolutely difficult to feel like you don't even want to walk into your own house. And I just sat there and this, like, kind of irritation began to grow. And then this anger began to grow inside of me. And I was like, that's it. I've had enough of this. So I grabbed my Bible and I strutted all the way to the back of the house. And I was like, I've had enough of this guy. Threw the door open and he's lying in this dark room in a depressed state, hungover. And I was just like, you need Jesus. You need God. You've got to come to church. You've got to do something. And then the same. And then I was like, I had the Bible in my hand and I was like, in frustration, I just threw it at his head. And I think it did hit you in the head, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
And I just, yeah, I said to him, this is what you need. And I threw the Bible at him and it must have worked because, you know, he started coming to church after that, actually.
Yeah, I actually started coming to church because I got sick of it asking me. So we were going to church for about I was about 2 months into it. And then she started serving, like, every day, after each Sunday, I would say, come on, let's go, you know. I was ready to leave, and I was still drinking at that time. And then she started serving. And then, oh, man, I was just like, what are you doing? And goes, oh, I'm washing dishes. And then so like, oh, can we go? She said, no. So I picked up the tea towel just to, you know, hurry her up a bit. But with me, it was a relationship with Jesus that grew just from that moment of picking up the tea towel. And so like, you know, picking up that tea towel and but still very much still had my old self in me. But it's like, you know, it wasn't an instant encounter with Jesus. It was like a relationship. So as I got to trust him more, I was able to let go a lot of my baggage that was holding me back, you know, like with my past, with what's happened with parents and so on. And I started going to church and actually started to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So tell us about January the 18th.
Yeah, so yeah, like Arthur said, so we started going to church, and just from my side of the story, I know it's slightly different to his, but good story, darling. We were going to church, and it was so awkward, you know. We would drive to church in total silence, and sometimes we would even argue on the way to church, and then we'd get there, and then we'd be like, you know, okay, we're going in now, you know, and then walk in the building, and then it would be like, I feel so much better. Like, you know, I feel like in this place, I can tell God my problems and it's all over. But I didn't actually, my faith was a very emotional faith. I didn't understand that I didn't need church to have a relationship with God. I felt like I did. I felt like I needed to grow and church was the place that I had to do everything. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to describe. I didn't realize that I could take God with me everywhere I went, because he was part of my life now. So, you know, the whole serving thing was actually because I was still kind of annoyed at him, because he, you know, church would finish and he'd be like, let's go. And I'd be like, I don't want to go yet, because I don't want to go home yet, because it's still not good at home. And I'm like, okay, let's stay here as long as we can. So I would start doing stuff and helping out, because I just wanted to prolong that feeling of it's okay. And my kids were having a great time and they were loving life, and it was amazing to see my children laughing and having friends and enjoying life when they'd had to endure some terrible stuff. And I just wanted to enjoy that. And so I went to church every single week. I needed to go and then dragged him along to church every single week. And then we got to a point where I was like, you know, I'm ready to be baptized. And it was coming up on a certain date, which happened to be our wedding anniversary, actually. And we were still living separate lives at this point. So I decided that I was going to get baptized, and that was my thing, and he can have his own thing over there, you know. But then he came to me and he's like, oh, you know, it's our wedding anniversary and I'm going to get baptized. And I kind of thought, you're ruining it for me, because I decided I was going to do this, and now you're like, you know. And then the next minute he says, you know, it's our wedding anniversary and I feel like this is an opportunity for us, and that we can, you know, reconcile our marriage, because it's, you know, it's a sign. And I'm like thinking to myself, you know, I was so hurt by this guy that I actually really hated him. And I don't say that lightly. I actually despised him because he'd hurt me so many times and over so much pain in my heart. And I was just like, I don't want to get back together with this guy. I don't love this guy anymore, and I can't endure any more pain from him. But lo and behold, we got baptized on our wedding anniversary, and we kept on going to church together and learning about God together, and our faith kept growing, and God somehow miraculously helped me to forgive and to get over a lot of baggage, and he put our marriage back together slowly and piece by piece.
I'd like to share when we did get baptized, and I was still, that night I was drinking, and I thought to myself that I can have the drinking and have God in my life, until that one moment when I did. Belinda walked past and I was outside, and all I could see was just the sadness in her eyes, you know. Like, and then it was that moment on, I just thought, I've had enough, Lord, you know. I'm all yours, you know. Take this big problem away that's wrecking our family. So that moment, that night, I actually stopped drinking and never looked back. And it was actually, didn't go through withdrawals and stuff. It was just like, it was all praise God that he answered my prayer, because he saw my heart on how much I hated what I was doing and what it was doing to the family. Yeah, and, you know, and just seeing the kids so broken, but looking at them now, or even seeing in them going to church and just, you know, like a big smile on their face, and it's, you know, I look at the children, that's not the same children who we had a while ago. And also one thing that's helped me is just being a father. My father's never been there for me. And I've never known how to be like a spiritual leader in the family. And I've struggled with that a lot, but it's only been recently where, you know, I've stepped into that responsibility to look after my family, to go out there and work hard with them no matter what it is. And that's, yeah, I just look back now and I just thank the Lord every time I wake up, and thank the Lord for what he's done for our marriage and for our lives.
Now, things are not perfect now. It's not. Think for one moment that they are. We all know. And when you were talking about arguing on the way to church, I mean, no. You know, so we don't for one moment think that we're looking at a perfect couple and that things are all wonderful now. But we do want to say how kind and gracious God is.
Yeah.
And how he, when he sees you two, he sees his children, he is your father, and there's a place in his house for you. And, you know, I think we should clap in a moment and just say thank you so much for telling us your story. Let's do that now. Okay.